The count is on point.
I need some ELO in my life.
Little ELO, Jeff Lynne, Electric Light Orchestra, Shine a Little Love in My Life. And that's what we're trying to do. Isn't that great? I love that. That takes you, that takes me back a long way. So,
well, I mean, you've got a long ways to go. So
watch it. He's so old, he remembers when the Dead Sea was just getting sick.
Oh, hey, careful with that joke. It's an antique.
Oh, Lord. Welcome back to the show for caregivers, about caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. I am Peter Roseberger. Glad to have you with us. If you're listening on iHeart across the country, man, appreciate you checking in with us. And the number, if you want to be on the show, is 615-737-9522, 800-688-9522, 615-737-9522, or 800-688-9522.
Or if you just want to talk to me and not be on the air.
Yeah, you can talk to John. Awesome. If you've got nothing else to do in there except spin your greatest disco hits.
I'm not going to respond to that. It doesn't matter.
Listen, we're talking about this section. If I wanted, I need to tell you about this section. Is brought to you by 101 Mobility. Jerry Kiefer and Cecil Rainey, my friends over there at 101 Mobility, 615-863-1031. You have just found out that your loved one is in the hospital. They're maybe in a rehabilitation center right now. They're recovering from a stroke, or they're just now in a wheelchair. Something's happened, broke their leg. Who knows? Can they get into the house okay? What about around the house? Can they navigate okay? Are there appropriate handicap accessible bars and so forth mounted where they need to be? Do you know where to put them? Well, Cecil and Jerry do at 101 Mobility. They will come into your house and do an assessment, and they will walk you through that process. Why try to do this yourself? Don't try to do this on the cheap. Don't try to go out there and find some fly-by-night guy. I've done that. Please. I've done that, okay? I've made those mistakes. Everything I've learned through failure, y'all. So I'm bringing you a plethora, 30 years of failure.
You are so giving with your mistakes.
I'm so giving with it. But get the guys to do it right the first time. That's what they do every single day. I mean, from an accessibility bar to a ramp to an elevator, this is what these guys do, and they know their business. So give them a call, 615-863-1031. 615-863-1031. By the way, did you know you can rent ramps? A lot of people, you know, think, well, gosh, I got to build a ramp. You don't have to build it. You can rent one. You can rent one. Maybe this is a time-sensitive issue, but you got to get them into the house. Don't try to pull up a wheelchair over the stairs. Done that. Been there. Done that. That's a lot of work. And you also risk hurting the person you love. Rent a ramp, and then you can take your time then and assess, okay, do I need a permanent ramp? And if so, what is this going to look like and so forth? So call Jerry and Cecil today, 615-863-1031. Okay, we're talking about addiction, impairment. Sometimes your loved one are going to turn to substances, and they're going to abuse those substances just to deal with their own issues. And I've had three different people just this week alone contact me about this subject, and it is a tough thing. And I hurt for the folks that are doing it. They're in a lot of pain, and they're wanting that pain to be numbed or be put aside or be dealt with in a way that seems to be more manageable. And so what they'll do is they'll turn to something that will take down even a further destructive path. And you as a caregiver are stuck watching this. And it is not cool, man. It is unpleasant. And what do you do? What do you do? Let me start off with some things that you don't do. You don't try to reason them out of this. Reason doesn't work, and it's not enough to be right. You can argue all day long, but you're not going to stop it. That thing will have it has a hold on them. And so the best thing you can do is make sure that you recognize where your limits are, your own boundaries, what you're powerless over. Because you don't have any control over what somebody else puts into their own body. You don't have any control over their behavior. The only thing you have control over your thoughts, words, and deeds. That's it. That's all you can do. What goes on in your brain, what comes out of your mouth, and what you do, that's where your control ends. Now, you may think you have control. And this is part of the problem we caregivers have. We somehow think that we're in control. We're very high-functioning multitaskers. So we can get a lot of things done, and we can manipulate and force our will and try to shame people to do things, and it gives us the illusion of control, but we really don't have any control over this. John, I'm going to say this, and you gauge how this comes out. I'm just going to say it. When I look back over what I've done as a caregiver for Gracie. I mean, all these surgeries and so forth. I've never lost an appeal with insurance companies. I've dealt with so many doctors. I've done things that people look at with just jaws open, thinking, how in the world have you pulled this off? When it comes to being a caregiver, I'm pretty good at what I do. I'm about one of the best I've ever seen. I can cook. I can clean. I can do laundry. I can deal with doctors. I do it all. And I've done it all for a very long time. But I will tell you this. I have not fixed this problem. I have not even really slowed it down. Mm. So that's the reality of it. I mean,
it's a hard thing to admit. And it's also...
But it's freeing. It's freeing to admit, because I realized, okay, wait a minute. And it took me a long time. This is where my problems are. It took me a long time to realize the obvious. I mean, I'm sorry. You know, hey, look.
Talking about mistakes.
I'm very gifted in a lot of things, but seeing the obvious is just not one of them, evidently. But you know, I realize that I don't have the power over this. I can't fix it. And I certainly can't make Gracie's legs grow back. I can't take away the heartache and stuff that she's had to go through. So I realize that my role is a little bit different, and she's got to experience her own experience. She's got to do what she's got to do. And I can do the best that I can to help her and to be a source of encouragement to her. But ultimately, her decisions are her decisions, not mine. And because of the sheer weight of my personality and so forth, sometimes I feel like I can force the decision. I can force my will on some things, but I'm really not changing anything. And it's the same thing when somebody's dealing with impairment issues, that it's not yours to fix. You don't have control over this, and they're going to have to walk through this journey themselves here. Now,
you have control over things, but not that.
Not that. Yeah. And you can get them to appropriate help. You can certainly encourage them on phone calls and so forth and be supportive. But you have to understand that this is beyond your skill set as a caregiver. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more. We're going to take a quick break. But before we do, we always bring today's caregiver tip with us. To let you know that here's one little thing you can do as a caregiver right now. So today's caregiver tip is get a flu shot. Get a flu shot.
Don't get sick. Come on, guys.
You cannot eliminate the risk of the flu, but you can minimize the risk of the flu. Okay? And when's a good time for you to be bowl hugging? I mean, really, you got 3 days, you just want to just be sick? Is that going to work for you?
And you're taking care of Dad? What's Dad doing while you got the flu? Can you call in and take a week off because you?
Yeah, caregivers don't get sick days. So anyway, mm-hmm. we're gonna take a quick break. But that was today's caregiver tip, and we're glad you joined us. We're gonna be right back in a minute after this quick break. And this is the Peter Rosenberger Show. I am so glad that you're with us. If you want to be on the show, 615-737-9522. 615-737-9522. All this head, so little brain. 615-737-9522. We'll be right back. This is Peter Rosenberger. Count is on point today. I mean, he is the Count of Mighty Disco, and today he's showing you why he is. Welcome back to the show for caregivers, about caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. It's all about staying alive. You staying alive. You staying healthy. Way to go, Count.
Disco John says hi.
Disco John says
hi. I actually have a shout-out, by the way.
Oh, bring it forth.
All right, Alex, I know you're up there in Michigan, and I know you're sitting there in the hospital. So, keep your chin up, buddy. You're awesome.
Well, thank you very much, Alex. I'm glad you're listening, and I do hope you're going to be okay up there in Michigan. And staying alive, that is a great song to bring it back into what we're talking about today. If you want to be on the show, 615-737-9522, 615-737-9522. And this particular segment, by the way, is brought to you by Hiller. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling. They've been sponsors here for a long time, and I love those guys. And this is a time of year when you start thinking about changing over some stuff with your furnace, your heater, because it starts getting cool in the evening. Not just quite yet here in Nashville, but it's getting close.
Well, I know what temperature you like the studio. So,
well, I like it cold in here. But who comes out and inspects your unit and it flushes your water heater and so forth on a regular basis. Well, if you're part of the Happy Healer Club, they'll come out and do it for chump change. I mean, we're talking about pennies per day, if that much. I mean, it's just ridiculous the deal that they offer to come out and help you stay, you know, up to date on all the things that you need. I mean, if mom's watching over your dad, who's watching the water heater?
And I mean, when is a good time for your water heater to go out?
Yeah,
really?
I mean, as a caregiver, you know that. And then also, you know, if your dad's living alone and he's elderly, do you want him underneath the house looking at the ductwork? I mean, I don't think so. I think that's,
or if he thinks he's good enough to get up on the roof. Don't ever get on the roof, guys.
That is one thing that I think I've just made that decision in my life that I'm not going to get on the roof anymore. As a caregiver, I just don't think it's a good thing to do. I make Grayson do it.
Yeah, there you go. So, I was going to say, even with all your Hapkido.
Well, you know, I have a black belt in Hapkido. I was just doing a thing this weekend down in Jackson, Mississippi with that. And
I was hoping you would get to that.
I'm pretty, you know, physically fit, but at the same time, it's just not worth the risk. You know, if I fall and break my leg, how's that going to affect my wife? This is the way we have to think as caregivers. And so that's why I use Hiller to come out and do all the things around my house that need to be done as far as the duct work and checking over things just to make sure, because there really is no good time for your water heater to break down. And you need to have somebody you can trust. And Jimmy Hiller runs a great shop over there. So if you want to go out there to Hiller, Nashville, they got locations everywhere. Here's a number for you, 615-891-5641, or go to just happyhiller.com.
Yeah, they're great.
Happyhiller.com. Good folks. All right. We're talking about addiction and impairment. Now, sometimes we as caregivers are taking care of somebody who is living with significant realities, oftentimes very painful things, and they've chosen to anesthetize those things with either alcohol or with drugs. Sometimes they're taking them under a doctor's care, and while they're not abusing them, there are still chemicals floating in their body.
Yeah.
And those things affect a person. And they literally
change the structure of your nerve cells.
And so you're dealing with, and then it develops into the disease of addiction.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like diabetes is a disease. You don't just wake up one day unless you're, you know, born with a genetic thing with juvenile diabetes and so forth. But the type 2 diabetes that's so common in our culture, it comes from years of killing yourself with a knife and fork.
Yeah, you've lifestyled your way into this.
And now you have a disease.
Yeah.
And well, guess what? You know, you're going to be dealing with that same principle when it comes to addiction. And it's a hard thing to understand. And you don't just will yourself out of it. You don't just, hey, snap out of it, buddy. And I've had 3 phone calls this week alone of people that are dealing with this and painful things. I mean, and the caregiver is struggling. You already got somebody who's got a physical impairment usually and some type of debilitating something. And now all of a sudden you throw this into the mix and it changes the personality and so forth. And I think the one thing I would like for my fellow caregivers to understand is sometimes you're talking to the person and sometimes you're talking to the addiction. And it's very hard to see the difference. Sometimes this happens. And I've talked to enough people, I've done enough research on this thing, and I've looked at it to realize, you know, this is a real problem. And we caregivers, you know, we tend to be, again, high-functioning multitaskers. And we can get a lot of things done, and we're often very articulate and persuasive. And we somehow think we can help reason them into moving away from these things. Sometimes they can't just simply because of doctor's orders and this is the way they have to cope. Other times they won't. Either way, it's not our responsibility to ensure their sobriety.
Yeah, you can't. It's not you. It is on them. You are not responsible for that.
I'm going to say that again. It is not a caregiver's responsibility to ensure your loved one's sobriety. That is not in your skill set. And it is not on the onus is not on you.
And if you're in the middle of this and you're carrying a lot of guilt with it, we talk about guilt a lot.
We talk a lot about guilt here.
Oh, it's one of our favorite things in the world.
Well, there's no problem so bad that guilt can't make it worse. Mm. And if you are in the middle of it, go ahead.
Well, if you're in the middle of this and you're carrying a lot of guilt, you need to set that sack of bricks down because that's what it is. You're carrying a sack of bricks.
You did not make them do this.
Yeah.
You did not do this. I don't care if you've been the biggest jerk in the world. You are still not responsible for somebody turning to this to cope with your bad behavior.
Well, in an even more nuanced way, let's say you don't have any guilt over, I didn't cause this, but you think, oh, well, I didn't cause it, but I can fix it. And then you can't, and you experience the guilt of, I should have tried harder. I should have.
I should have, could have, would have.
I wasn't smart enough. I wasn't good enough. And you need to drop that. Just set it down because it's not yours to carry.
Well, I mean, you know, if reason worked, you know, we'd have figured this thing out a long time ago. But it doesn't.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a problem. We just oh, okay, that makes sense. We'll stop now. It doesn't work that way. And it's, so the what do you do as a caregiver if this is what you're dealing with? Well, first off, you need to understand that you're watching a slow motion train wreck. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, I'm just going to call it like I see it. And if you put yourself between this and bottom, then you're prohibiting them from reaching bottom because there's no way that they're going to change until they reach bottom. It's not going to happen. So they've got to get to the point where they cry out for help and say, uncle. And as long as you're standing in the way of them saying uncle, well, guess what? They're not going to say uncle. And they're not going to improve if they say uncle. Here's the deal with alcoholics, for example. There's three things that are going to happen if you're an alcoholic. You're either going to sober up through going into a recovery program and so forth and maintaining that, or you're going to get locked up, or you're going to get covered up. And by that, I mean you're going to die. Those are the only three options. You're either going to sober up, get locked up, or get covered up. That's where it goes to. Those are the three paths of an alcoholic, and really for most addicts as well. And nothing that you as a caregiver is going to change that. I mean, you're just not going to do it. So how do you function? How do you live? How do you be peaceful at this thing? Well, go back to what we said at the beginning of this show. We can look at grim realities without being grim ourselves, realizing that we don't have any power over that. I didn't do this. Now, look back, let's take the situation with my wife and her legs. You know, her legs are gone. This wreck took a lot from her, but I didn't do this. I don't have any control to fix this. And so what I do is I care for her to help do things that are going to make her life a little safer, if I can, a little more comfortable, if I can, caring, loving, but understand that, you know, I can't undo these things. And she's going to have to learn to walk on prosthetics, and it's going to hurt sometimes, and she's going to fall, and I can help her up. I can dry some tears. But I can't keep her in a wheelchair just because I'm afraid she's going to fall. That's her decision, whether she does this or not, not mine. Well, it's the same thing with this other stuff. You can't guide them out of this. They're going to have to walk out on their own steam, hopefully with their hands in the hand of a recovery program where they can say, you know what? This is how I've learned how to deal with this. I'm going to get sober, and I'm going to recover from this thing. I'm going to walk away from these drugs. I'm going to get the treatment that I need, whatever it is. And there's ways you do that, but you can't do it.
And it doesn't look nice sometimes.
It's a very messy thing.
It really is.
It is a very messy thing. And a lot of times people get real weird about it. In the church, we get kind of weird about it. You know, it's, well, if you just pray real hard, you squint your eyes real hard, and you can stop doing this. Or Jesus will deliver from you right now. You know, I haven't found that to be the case. I think some people give that kind of testimony, and God bless them for it. But for the most part, I have seen it is hard and messy work, and God equips us with strength and courage along the way.
There you go.
It is a hard and messy thing to do this, you know, but in that process, we grow as a person, and we grow in our faith and our strength as we do it. You know, God is walking through the valley of shadow of death with us. He doesn't just instantly transport us out. Yea, though I walk through the valley, not fly through it, not blitz through it, walk through it. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me.
I like your pointing out of that. It's not a, I'm not going to teleport you out of it. That's important. That's not, you know, this is a journey. This is a journey,
and you're going to come through. You're going to come through this at the pace you're going to come through it. It takes what it takes, and it takes as long as it takes. And sometimes in our you know, muck life, we want everything so fast that we're over there screaming at the microwave oven to go faster, that we think we'd somehow just be done with this. And like I said, if we pray real hard, there's something wrong with our faith. That if God was really loving us and caring for us, then we would, we would be able to get out of this and so forth. And no, it's a process. It's a journey. And it's a journey of growth as a person. And if you as a caregiver try to jump in between that, they're never going to get it. You are the impediment at that point. It's okay to step back and let them experience their own experience. This is Peter Rosenberger on the show for caregivers about caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. We'll be right back after this break. Thanks for joining with us. If you want to be on the show, 615-737-9522. 615-737-9522. Absolutely on point. Count of Monte Disco. Heaven knows it's not the way it should be. Heaven knows it's not the way it could be. You know what? That's what this show is all about. Way to go, John.
No, it's Donna's fault, man. I just sit here and hit play.
Listen, heaven knows this, and heaven sees this. God sees what you're going through. I promise you this. He knows it. And I love that. Thank you. The queen of disco, Donna Summer, used to live here in Nashville. We're glad
I had no idea.
Did you not know that?
I didn't know that, but we have lots of claims to fame. I'm not surprised in the slightest. We're a fantastic town.
I got to meet her one time at a luncheon thing, and just a delightful lady. But Donna Summer.
I have ceased to be surprised by the number of people that you've met and come into contact with and lives that you have touched. Peter.
Well, thank you very much. It's a great town here in Nashville, and we're at 55 Music Square West. Here on Music Row in Nashville, Tennessee, 1510 WLAC. If you're listening on iHeart across the country, give us a shout, 800-688-9522, 800-688-9522. If you're listening in the broadcast area, 615-737-9522.
And if you want to listen to podcasts of the show, where would you go, Peter?
You just go to Peter. Well, let's see. I'm trying to think what's the easiest way to get to.
Standing with Hope is the best.
Standing with Hope. Yeah. Just go to the main website, Standing with Hope. Standing with Hope, because I put everything out there. But also have the podcast page as a standalone page.
Yes, you do.
But it's a little bit harder address. So let's just go to standingwithhope.com. You know, what is Standing with Hope? Standing with Hope.
Yeah.
It is the presenting sponsor of this show. And it's the organization my wife and I started. When Gracie lost her legs, she wanted to use prosthetics. The moment she started walking on prosthetics for the first time as a double amputee, she said, I'm going to use this to reach other amputees and tell them about Jesus. And that's what we do. And that's I just got back from Ghana. I was doing that 2 weeks ago, working there. Let me tell you about Napoleon. Have I told you about Napoleon?
No. But I know which Napoleon you're talking about.
I paid attention
to your...
Not Napoleon Bonaparte. But
right.
Napoleon's this young fellow, and he was an electrical worker. And I was sharing with this morning at the church. And he was up on a wire. Up on a thing, and he was hoisted up somewhere.
And this is a gentleman in
Ghana.
In Ghana, because you have people coming in from other countries as well,
right? But this guy was from Ghana, and he was there. There was the transformer blew. He was up there on a pole or something fixing. You know how they're in those harnesses,
right?
And it knocked him out, and then his leg caught on fire. And when he came to, his leg was burning, and he had to put it out with his own hand to get it out. So he burned his hand real bad. His leg was so badly burned they had to amputate it. And we saw him via video conference a couple of months ago. He came into the clinic and the scar was just not strong enough yet to support what needed to happen with the prosthesis. So because we have high-speed internet in the clinic and we can do Skype and FaceTime.
You FaceTime from here to Ghana all the time.
And Periscope from there, which was kind of cool.
That's correct. I remember logging into that.
And so we were able to say, okay, let's wait, because the work goes on even when we're not there and we send over supplies. Well, he came in the clinic just a couple weeks ago when we were there, and now he's up and walking and looking great. I think we got him on our Facebook page.
I saw it a couple of days.
Standing with Hope on Facebook, and just an amazing young man with a great attitude, a smile as big as Texas. And, it was such a pleasure to serve him. And that's what we do at Standing with Hope. And we do for hundreds and hundreds of lives. You know what? I want to do more. And Standing with Hope is just really a mom and pop, and right now it's mostly just a pop. You know, it's just Gracie and I, and we started this thing, and I invite you to go out to standingwithhope.com today and help us get a leg up on someone.
Hey, what are you doing there, buddy?
You see what I did there? What I did?
I did. Well, look, I'm here to toe the line for you, buddy. All right.
Don't be a heel. All right.
I'm trying to get a foot in the door.
Show some soul. I win on this every single time.
I know. You've got 30 years of this racked up. It's just time. Yeah, I know. I really need to get a list together that you haven't used yet.
Well, Richard Simmons? You call those calves, girls. Those are steers. But
I have not. Okay, look, Ladies and gentlemen, Peter Rosenberger is excellent at impressions. Well, you're excellent at several impressions. There are some of them that, you know, we all have ones that are better than others.
For somebody who's not impressive, I'm actually excellent at impressions.
But you are, I haven't heard your Richard Simmons. Well, that's a new one.
There are a few that do, but this morning I actually, for one sentence, I actually lapsed into Bill Clinton at church.
Ooh.
In front of the whole church. I was like, listen, I'm not the guy. And
I did Michael Caine earlier. It was great.
Michael Caine. Can you do Michael Caine?
The trick to doing Michael Caine is that you don't let your lips touch your teeth.
That's actually pretty good, Michael Caine. Well, I am. I'm just thrilled to be able to reach folks like Napoleon. And there's so many others. And I'll tell stories as the show progresses out through the fall of people that are just continue to be changed by this. We had a couple of girls that have come in that we've been treating since they were 7 or 8 years old. Mm. And now they're in their late teens. We've been doing this a lot.
Why would you have to treat somebody throughout childhood?
Kids are going to outgrow a leg.
Oh, I get it now.
You know, think about it. You're buying new shoes for your children as they grow. Well, guess what? You're going to have to buy a new leg. And we sponsor that leg, and we need your help to do that at Standing With Hope. And we send over all this equipment. The workers there in the Republic of Ghana, they work for Ghana Health Service, their Ministry of Health. And we partner with them. We have a memorandum of understanding with their government to do this. And we provide equipment and training. And then if the patient can't even afford the copay, which is very nominal, then we'll step in and sponsor that. And that just pays to keep the lights on and pay those workers a salary. And we'll sponsor that. And we took on a couple extra patients that we didn't have necessarily in the budget for this time around. But it's the right thing to do.
Well,
it's just the right thing to
every
do.
Every time this comes up, I like to reiterate that this is, you know, this is Ghana. It's a third world country, and you've got some, you know, meatball surgery sometimes, and this is a person with an amputation, and they
think about their life
in a third world country.
With opportunities that we have in America with people with disabilities, but over there it's not the same, and so. You know, you look at these folks and you think, okay, we can do this, and let's do it. But I need your help to do it. I'm asking, it doesn't cost that much. I mean, $30 a month, you can help sponsor a leg for a year or one time $350. It's out at standingwithhope.com. You know, you can do whatever. There's so many different ways you can contribute, and I'm asking you to take a moment today at standingwithhope.com to go out and help us do what we do. I was sitting over there in the clinic, and John, I got to be honest with you, I was a little bit frustrated because I was thinking, we're doing something extraordinary over here. I need to do more. I want to do more, but I can't. I'm so limited by what I can do. But I want to do more. I'm eager to do more, and I'm asking you to help us. We had two interns over there from Nigeria that were working in the clinic and training there.
Yeah, this is the thing. This is not the bleed over of awesome from this is just fantastic because you get people that learn to do wonderful things for other people.
It was, and then you get to meet people from other countries and so forth while we're there. We've had folks from Togo that have come over and trained with us.
They get to see your hair?
They get to see my hair, and hair stands out in Ghana. Believe me, it stands out.
Stands out here, buddy.
With great hair comes great responsibility. Well, listen, we're going to wrap up our time today talking about addiction, but first I got to leave you with today's caregiver tip because, you know, we always have today's caregiver tip. And today's caregiver tip is get a flu shot. It's that time of year. You're under stress as a caregiver. Your immune system is down. You're going to be susceptible to stuff. When's a good time for you to call in sick as a caregiver? Oh, right. There is no good time for you to call in sick. We as caregivers don't get sick days. Have you noticed that?
And then, you know, you're not spreading it around to people who might be even more vulnerable than yourself. So come on.
The only spreading around needs to be from this show because I can spread it around, baby. But get a flu shot. And that has been today's caregiver tip. We're going to wrap up this real quick here, the last little bit. How much time we got, John?
We've got about a minute and a half.
All right,
I'm going to
see if I can wrap this up here. Look, if you're dealing with somebody who's impaired, if you're dealing with somebody who is turning to alcohol or drugs to cope with what they're dealing with, or they're under doctor's care and they're still having to do it and it's affecting their personality, notify your doctor, your loved one's doctor immediately. If you see something that looks like it's going to be harmful, bring it up. Talk to your pastor. Get into a program. There are a lot of programs for this sort of stuff. You could go to, encourage them to go to AA. That's a good place to start for them. Or there's other types of programs like it. But for yourself, there's other...
Or an inpatient treatment program.
Inpatient treatment program. There are also support groups out there for folks, family members of alcoholics like Al-Anon and so forth, other type related organizations and support groups that you can go to and learn how to deal with these things in a healthier manner for yourself.
There's meetings every day, everywhere.
Start with that. Call your pastor. let somebody else know what's going on. Don't try to hide this. Don't try to make up for it. Don't try to make excuses for it. Don't enable it. Get out of the way of this sort of thing. Let it be what it's going to be. Yes, it's tough to look. Like we said, we came in this segment. Heaven knows. God sees this. He knows this. But both of you are on a journey, you and your loved one. And part of your journey is learning what you cannot control and what you can, and learning to trust God with those things that are beyond your abilities. It's a growth of faith on your part. And I've been doing this for a long, long time, watching things that are tough to watch. And I learned to slip my scared hand into his scarred hand. And that's how I do it. That's how I get through this thing. And you can too. And that's what this show is about. And we're going to be here for you. Glad you stopped by. We'll see you next time. Go to standingwithhope.com for more. Standingwithhope.com. This is Peter Rosenberg. We'll see you next week.